Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.
You don't just live in your home, you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Previously on The Missionary.
I would assume that this is a health facility with the trained health workers.
My job there was to show people the character and the nature of Christ by just like acting out of love and kindness and being so compassionate.
Seeing how the community reacted left a really bad taste in my mouth, and I just was constantly asking myself every day if this is how Christians are supposed to act and treat one another.
There's no way I would say, but please, I want to see your papers, but please, where is your certificate displayed here? There was no way I would ask that.
Malnutrition season in Uganda is really like May through September because of the rainy season and the way that the harvest flows there. And so we had kind of geared up for pretty high numbers in the summer. And yeah, we had a lot of people that were just coming.
We had over 20 children because that is the time the facility was overwhelmed. We had very many. It was above the capacity.
But then the morning came when a government vehicle pulled up to the gate of Serving His Children unannounced. It was March 12, 2015.
It was around 8. I started duty as usual. At 10, we used to take the vitals of these children. The babies would go to sleep. I was seated there. After taking my vitals, we saw the vehicle for the DHI.
When they came, the DHO, they came in the car.
The guard opened the gate. I just saw some officials coming out of the vehicle.
I welcomed him.
All what you've been doing, you are killing children here.
This NGO registered for health educating in the communities. Why are you treating children? Are you supposed to treat children? Are you supposed to work here? I said, I'm a midwife, and I'm not a boss.
They asked for the director.
I was keeping my friend's 13 children while she was on her honeymoon for 2.5 weeks.
As soon as Renee caught wind of the raid, she found another babysitter and raced across town.
They went inside the office.
And the DHO stood there and looked me in the face and said, you have to get everyone out by 5. And I said, well, I don't know where we're going to send all these kids because they all need really intensive care. And he said, I don't care. You can send them home. You can refer them to a government facility. And I said, but sir, these kids will die if we send them home. And he said, you're right. They will die, but it's no longer your problem. So get them out of here before 5 o'clock or I'm taking you to jail.
After that, we saw Reni going in the boys' quarter and she started crying. Then we were just hearing, they have closed us down, they have closed us down.
She called the staff and said the center has been closed.
They called the driver, packed up those mothers and took back the mothers in their respective places where they picked them.
Women on their knees begging, please don't make us leave. Please, Auntie Renee, please don't make us leave. Our kids are going to die. And within 3 days, 8 or 9 of those kids died in other facilities.
In association with iHeartMedia, I'm Malcolm Burnley.
I'm Rajiv Gola.
I'm Halima Gakandi.
This is The Missionary, Episode 7, Matthew 18.
If you compare the events of 2015 to what is happening today with serving his children, it's a bit like deja vu. For the first time, these quiet, simmering, whispered complaints about what was happening inside the facility started to get out and to be taken seriously by people with actual authority. It was the first time Renee was forced to answer questions on the record and to be held accountable. The Good Samaritan defense, the witch hunt narrative, and the arguments that Renee was only dealing with children under the watchful eye of Ugandan professionals, these were all aired out 5 years ago. 2015 was the year that everything changed for serving his children, for Renee, for Jinja. Just weeks before the shutdown, two pediatricians from Nalufenya Children's Hospital visited serving his children, and they were alarmed by certain conditions, like the children receiving intravenous fluids when the pediatricians felt they didn't need to. So they took their concerns to Peter Diogo Natamu, the district health officer, or DHO. We know that the DHO handed Renee an inspection notice bearing a government insignia, which said in plain language why serving his children was being shut down. The first violation was for running a health facility with an expired license. What's weird about this is that serving his children finally did get a license in 2014. They had passed a government inspection and everything. But without renewal, the medical license had expired by March 2015. Renee says she believed there was a grace period lasting several months where they could operate without it as they waited to get it renewed. I learned later that this was actually a common misconception on the ground and that Ugandan officials are still trying to correct it. There is no grace period.
I mean, the reality is it's not that hard to register. It's just a paperwork process, you know. Really, anyone who wanted to register a health center probably could. I mean, the qualifications are not that heavy. I mean, the things that we put into place were probably far stricter and more structured than what was required.
The obvious question here is that if it was so easy to do, then why didn't she? For the record, licensing is one of those issues that goes well beyond Renee. A lot of Ugandan clinics have been shut down because they didn't have active licenses. Regardless, it doesn't matter what led the DHO to investigate that day. A lapsed license was all he needed to shut them down immediately because it was illegal. And it wasn't all they found. The DHO also wrote down that children with tuberculosis or TB were mixed in with the rest of the kids. Not only is TB an infectious disease, it's also a potential cause of malnutrition, which is why there are strict standards for quarantining children with TB from those who don't have it, because otherwise you could be treating one problem while potentially infecting children with another. The third violation was a bit broad. The DHO noted that there were children in need of higher level care than what serving his children could visibly provide, cases that shouldn't have been handled there. So at the end of the day, the person who was ultimately responsible for the shutdown was the person who was running the facility. That was Renee Bach. What's more, we learned that Renee had made multiple attempts to try to get serving his children reopened without addressing any of those problems. These were actually rumors that we had heard very early on during our reporting. Claims that Renee had gone to the capital of Kampala to try to get reopened, had done something fishy. What we did learn was this. She met with Dr. Katumba Sentengo, the chief executive of Uganda's Medical and Dental Council, who we heard from in the last episode. He remembers the meeting vividly because of where they met. He was attending a conference and Renee was willing to meet him in the hotel lobby. Dr. Sentengo remembers Renee trying to convince him that the DHO had gotten it wrong and to help her reopen, but that didn't fly with him.
So I asked her what were the issues and said, oh, the districts. I said, oh, if it is that, let me get the phone. So, no. I said, let me get the phone. So I got the phone and I phoned. I phoned the district officer. He told me.
Dr. Sentengo put the DHO on speakerphone to make sure that Renee could hear his explanation.
He said that the facility was handling very serious patients. They are not fit to manage. And actually, when they closed, they told them to refer the cases to the main hospital. They are not providing for good infection control and whatever.
In the coming days, Dr. Sentengo received calls from politicians asking if he would reconsider Renee's appeal. He doesn't remember exactly who called, he says, mostly because he didn't pay them much attention.
They are not above me in the profession, but I think they are politicians, either local politicians. I don't remember very well, but I remember somebody senior. I think there are some people who phoned me. Some other people phoned me to register the thing. But as usual, I just, you know, things. If you are not in the line of profession, you're out.
Keep in mind, this is a person in a position of authority saying this. He told Renee she would have to fix the problems at serving his children and sort it out with the DHO before she could reopen. We don't know if Renee ever did that. But what we do know from the court documents is that Renee solicited letters of support from some of the medical staff she had employed, including Mudasi Kayuza, the clinical officer we heard from in the last episode. But when I showed him the letter bearing his signature, he said he didn't remember writing it. Later, a different official in Jinja, Henry Kumbaini of the Allied Health Professionals Council, told me he remembered that months after the shutdown, Renee and another woman came to his office to inquire about registering a lab at serving his children. But he told them they needed a valid license first. Was this Renee trying to back-channel the system in order to reopen? Or was it her trying to figure out how to reopen the right way? The person I thought would have the answer to that was the DHO, or district health officer. And we tried to speak with him multiple times. I even waited at his office for hours. But he refused to talk with us.
Even now, Renee considers the shutdown a personal hit job. Herself a victim of politics and vendettas, rather than the overt reasons staring her in the face, including the government violations.
Later we were told, and you know, we don't have any evidence to this, but that the DHO was paid a bribe to come and close the center. So when he came, he really had no option. So, you know, he had to come with a pretty serious aggression because... you know, he was paid a decent amount of money to come and lead us to believe that we were being closed.
Here's what we actually know about the series of events that led up to it. The DHO got a tip from those pediatricians at Nalafanya, but those pediatricians got a tip from inside the missionary world.
I had been the person who volunteered to compile all of the evidence. I didn't have a lot of firsthand evidence myself, which was kind of why I volunteered to do that, because I had hoped that I was a little bit less emotionally involved and less emotionally charged.
Megan Parker didn't know Renee well. She had a reputation as something of an outsider in Jinja, running Abide Family Center, the NGO she launched with Kelsey Nielsen in 2013.
I just couldn't understand how people could look at the same evidence we were looking at and come to such different conclusions.
Sometime in early 2015, the evidence gathered by women like Ashley Laverty and Jackie Kramlich crystallized into a document. It included photos from Renee's blog trying to show Renee had violated patient privacy rights, a post where Renee seemed to be transfusing a girl that we now know as Patricia. There was a little bit of firsthand testimony contributed by Ashley, too, but most of the evidence was cut and pasted from Renee's blogs. And that document started to make its way around Jinja. Elizabeth Nicholson made a copy and took it to the police. Another one went to Nalafenya. And they even sent the material to the media.
Think anything really came of that. No one communicated with us after that until the day that serving has been shut down. And then obviously that news was swirling all over town. And that's when we kind of were like, whoa, I guess that did something.
Renee described this document almost like a high school burn book, cobbled together by her rivals in order to ruin her reputation back in 2015.
Kelsey and a couple other women created a file of just different pieces of blogs, a couple photos. And to be honest, when I read it later, it sounded like they were writing it for like a tabloid publication. It was like fairly catty. It was almost, I mean, it wasn't because I was like a disaster at the time, but it was almost comical, you know, just this mean girl undertone.
Later, I did read the document. It didn't seem juvenile or frivolous or conspiratorial. Honestly, it read like an early draft of the court case, except without stories like Twalali's. At the time, Megan and her colleagues believed they were whistleblowers, but soon they were treated like snitches at vacation Bible camp.
That very day, someone told me people are really unhappy. They think your approaches were unbiblical and that you should never have gone to the authorities. You should have gone to the church elders if you had concerns. I went to missionary events and people would like refuse to speak to me. And I think, again, like that was, I was so like freaked out about that I definitely overestimated how many people were against me versus on my side. Like, the entire town was just split down the middle.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance. Helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep experts. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
After the shutdown, a group of religious leaders stepped in with a plan to end the bad blood and determine once and for all what, if anything, René did wrong. Nobody agreed on anything in this story, except one thing. The church mediation of 2015 was an unqualified disaster.
You know, there were so many of us that were seeing the same story, giving the same narrative, and they just wouldn't listen or wouldn't believe it, and they were just so like hell-bent on standing up for René that it was just like, it was shocking.
That's Ashley. Here's René.
I feel very certain that Kelsey and everybody, Jackie, would say, oh, well, the elders wanted to stick up for René. They just didn't even want to hear what we had to say. Like, they don't care. And I would probably say the same thing. Yeah, I feel like they were verbalizing to me, like, hey, we want to help this situation. Like, how can we support you? But I didn't feel supported or helped at all. I feel like they made my life more of a living hell.
Patrick Draku was a Ugandan elder at the church René attended.
I hoped to see humility. Those who thought they were right said, look, I humble myself. I see that I was wrong. And those who still think they're right, to try to listen to the other side. I hoped for Christians behaving like mature Christians, not still infants. Yeah.
Three mediators agreed to lead the process. A church elder named Jeremy Boone, who led the church René went to, and two other elders from other churches in the community. But in the small world of Jinja, everyone already knew each other. Old allegiances, or the perception of them, torpedoed the process before it began.
None of them had ever experienced anything like this before, where there was so much like overwhelming brokenness.
My perception of Jeremy was that he went in hoping to just help heal a community, realized that the whole situation was way more complex than he perceived, and he was just in totally over his head.
The mediators spoke about restoring peace, but they chose not to bring both sides together. René and her accusers came in separately for questioning, sitting down in plastic chairs below a shady grove of palm trees. Megan Parker and Ashley Laverty went together.
And then they just tried using a whole bunch of scripture out of context, basically to demean and degrade Megan and I. It was very upsetting. I actually had to sit on my hands because I was shaking so badly.
The mediators kept coming back to a part of Matthew 18 about the value of handling conflicts neighbor to neighbor, Christian to Christian.
I am a pastor's daughter, born and raised. Okay, so lawsuits among believers. There is this passage in 1 Corinthians that if members of the church have grievances against one another, why would you go to a law that is an unrighteous law instead of the saints, is the exact line.
And we got really sort of heated because we were like, why are you unable to see that this isn't a church matter? And like, why would we have gone to the church elders or church leadership? Because this was not a biblical matter. This wasn't a church matter. It was a moral and legal matter.
But Ashley and Jackie had tried for years to handle this inside the community. And now they felt like these spiritual leaders weren't even taking them seriously. Here's Jackie Kramlich.
It was that whole thing that I'm like, was just like awakening to the insanity of the rules we followed as a community. You know, that like you could come forward with children dying, malpractice and neglect kind of thing, negligence, and be told like, yeah, okay, but yeah, you just said it so mean and her feelings are really hurt. Let's all make a list and bring her some special thing every day because she feels so sad right now. They lost sight of like what the mediation was because they were like, well, now girls, because we were all women involved and the mediation team was all men.
The mediation completely backfired. Ashley believed it could be a second chance for justice, a second chance to tell their stories. But by the end, she felt like they were being asked to atone, not Renee.
Again, we're bringing up all these examples of the wrong that Renee had done, yet somehow they wanted us to feel like we were the ones in the wrong. And it was just like a very dirty feeling.
I wrote Jeremy like a personal email, like giving all of like how this impacted me, like explaining to him that like you're not only just kind of like turning your eyes away from justice and, you know, child abuse basically, and even when there's really hard evidence in front of your face, but like in saying that she's fine, you're calling me a liar.
But the mediation failed in another, even more significant way. The saga of serving his children was one that affected Ugandan families. But Ugandans were never involved in the process. The mediation would never address the actual issues at hand if it did not address the victims first. In the end, the mediators wrote a letter commending Renee for her cooperation and concluded, quote, that Renee and her board saw their indiscretion and were working hard to make sure they were legally compliant and above board prior to serving his children's clinic being shut down. But the letter also went on to condemn those who brought the allegations in the first place and says that the criticisms were not put forward in a caring manner. Let me read you a line here. Harsh judgments concerning Renee's character and in one event, the destination of her soul, did little to help bring facts to light. While it's understandable to be frustrated with the perceived disinterest of Renee and her board, it is never right to be presumptuous about such a grave matter, a person's character, or their soul.
I just always remember thinking, and even telling my mom, I was like, you know, unless this gets to the media, like, nothing is ever going to happen. She's just going to keep doing what she's doing. She's going to keep getting praised for it. People are still going to stand up for her. As much as I wanted to put it behind me, there was still this part of me that, like, still wanted to see justice and like her have to face the consequences of what she had done. Though I didn't think that I was the person to make that all happen. I felt like I was never really going to be happy or like at peace with this situation until that happened, if that ever happens.
So what was your reaction? Oh, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, no, take a minute.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep experts. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I've been trying to get in contact with Jeremy Boone for months. I left him voicemails, texts, and emails. I could tell he'd seen my messages, but he never wrote back. Other folks in town told me it was a dead end. Jeremy was over it all. He'd put the whole thing behind him. He'd moved on and didn't want anything to do with it anymore. But then one day, he responded. And a week later, I was sitting cross-legged on the floor of his living room. I wore the only button-up shirt I packed, tucked into my jeans, trying to clean up the best I could for the church service that Jeremy was holding in his home.
Patrick? Rajiv.
My goodness.
Oh, you're the one.
Yeah, yes, I'm the one been bugging you.
Jeremy mentioned that you would come. You're so welcome.
Thank you so much.
He and his wife started off leading a few songs. There were about 40 people there, a mixed crowd of Ugandans, Americans, kids, teens, adults. Some who'd been there for decades, and some who'd just gotten there a few weeks earlier.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
So, let me welcome a few people. Rajiv, good to have you, man.
Thank you very much for having me.
Really glad you're here. Rajiv is a journalist. Actually, he's from North Carolina. Went to Duke University, for those of you who care. I care a lot. But so far, despite that fact, we've gotten along all right, which is nice.
The subject of that morning's sermon was John 7:37, oddly resonant.
John 7:37, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, with whom those who believed in him were later to receive.
After the service and after the potluck lunch, Jeremy and I made plans to do an interview the next day. He had things he needed to get off his chest about how everything went down. And the next day he came to my place. I offered him a glass of water and we took our seats in my living room.
First, I just want to ask, like, what made you want to say something about this?
Well, I'll be honest. I mean, I'm still a little reluctant in some ways. But, you know, people are going to form their own opinions, and I'd rather them form it when I've actually spoken rather than people form it based on, you know, my silence. And so, yeah, I just wanted to...
I could tell Jeremy was nervous. He gulped down the first glass of water quickly and got up every few minutes to refill his glass and catch his breath.
We can circle back to that.
He brought along a piece of notebook paper with him.
I was looking at some of my notes that I've written down about this.
So, yeah, why don't I let you sort of lead it from here, and then if I have questions, I'll jump in.
Yeah, it works, man. That's cool. Our jurisdiction was very limited. I mean, no one had to listen to anything we said. No one had to read our letters if they didn't want to read our letters. We volunteered to try to help, to get to the truth and to help bring resolve if possible. Most people were pretty positive about us being involved. I can't say all. And were looking toward us to try to bring some light to the situation. And I think some even hoping to find some level of understanding and resolve in the community. I don't think that after the mediation letter was written that people felt that way. I think probably people were probably discouraged and wondered why we were ever involved, including myself. Yeah.
I empathize with him. When our team stepped into this whole story, I didn't think any of us could predict just how messy and confusing it all was.
When you got two contradictory stories and the narrative's kind of in a cycle, you know, and you're just hearing so many different accounts, it's really hard to know what the truth is and hard to know how to love someone and hard to know how to hold them accountable. I know we were committed to doing those things, but just knowing the truth and applying it was the hard part. If I had it to do over again, or I had to do it again, I'm sure there are a lot of things I'd do different.
But there are still a number of people that kind of feel very personal about how everything went down. And I mean, specifically, I'm thinking about this, what I've heard, that people that were standing against Renee felt almost personally victimized by the process, that they had scripture like Matthew 18 and about that process of handling things in a biblical fashion thrown at them. I mean, can you speak to any of that?
Yeah, I don't really have anything, man. Yeah, I don't have anything there, man.
Jeremy asked me to turn the recorder off. And by then, a storm was passing through and made recording impossible. We decided to pick it up in the morning. When he came back, Jeremy was much more sure of what he wanted to say.
I know that I hurt and disparaged people, that I didn't do it well. And whether it was ignorance or maybe some defensiveness or some self-preservation, I'm always skeptical of myself, you know, always taking inventory to make sure my motivations are right and I'm doing things, you know, well. And if it was a wrong that I did, you know, some information I should have had, I should have gotten, a process I should have went through that I didn't, that caused the hurt, man, I'm sorry for it. You know, looking back on it, here. You and I were sitting in here talking yesterday, and a big storm came through, and the wind was raging, and leaves were blowing everywhere, and we could hear a low rumble. It sounded kind of like a tornado in here, and we sort of invoked that as an image of what happened in the Jinja community. I felt swept up by a tornado, which I imagine a lot of people did. It felt really out of control, you know, out of my control, and it was causing chaos and really, really hard to make sense of it, both when it was happening and even in the aftermath. Picking up the pieces has been, you know, been challenging. And I imagine there are a lot of people, you know, who share that with me, probably from both sides.
In 2016, Jeremy and the mediators wrote a follow-up letter, apologizing for the role that they played in this whole process. They walked back their tacit support of Renee and instead sided with medical authorities, with legal authorities, and made strong suggestions for the changes that serving his children should make to their organization. Just before he left, Jeremy told me a story from his 20s.
Was thinking this morning before I came to talk to you about sitting on a jury one time. There was a man who was driving drunk, and he had a young boy in the driver's seat, and he drove off and he hit a utility pole. And so, you know, we're sitting in on this jury, and the prosecution wants to get the guy for second degree murder, and the defense is arguing for manslaughter. And the difference had everything to do with the mental state of the man who was driving the vehicle at the time. And we literally spent a week listening to one phone call to try to read between the lines and figure out what's the context. You know, was this guy malicious? Was he hateful? You know, did he, you know, what was really going on here? And I just remember feeling really small and really unqualified and not wanting to be in that position. And the court made a decision, and I walked away wondering, well, did we make the right decision? I didn't even know. And 20 years later, I still look at that and say, I'm not real sure we made the right decision.
But that metaphor, as earnestly as Jeremy offered it, summed up the whole problem with the mediation. Trying to address the intentions and motives of the people involved, Renee's intentions, her accuser's intentions, rather than the actual issue at hand. Well, it cost Jeremy years of regret, and some of his closest friends. It's the same problem that's dogged us every step of our reporting. People kept asking, was Renee crazy? Did she get off on experimenting on kids? Or was her heart in the right place? But intentions have always been a very naive way to look at this. It didn't matter how pure your heart was, how sorry you were. There were still children in coffins, families who wanted answers, and systemic failures to account for. After all, what is it they say about the road to hell?
For a couple of years after 2015, things were quiet for serving his children. They stopped doing inpatient medicine and were educating mothers on the complex issues of malnutrition. Renee's legacy had taken a hit, but now the organization was more bulletproof. They'd partnered with the local government and were operating directly out of a public clinic. Serving his children 2.0 was more by the book. There was one person to thank for making that happen. One of the doctors that Renee hired years earlier, Dr. Ibrahim Gwaluka, known by colleagues simply as Dr. Ibrahim. He had transferred to the Chigondolo area, and Dr. Ibrahim helped broker the meetings that led to the government partnership.
He's the one who really presented the organization, presented the program proposal, got all of the approvals, got all of our MOUs signed, and then helped set up all of our trainings and stuff like that, and then monitored the program as a whole.
But as we've seen in this episode and throughout the series, serving his children was a black hole for so many people who came close to it. Jeremy, Jackie, the government regulators, the three of us working on this podcast, It seemed like everyone who lodged a complaint or tried to help or wanted to know why this happened and how ended up worse off for it, got caught up in a storm of accusations and rumors. And what happened to Dr. Ibrahim hammers this home.
Doctor and his wife, they were arriving in their home, in their car, but he saw the assassinator coming from the orange tree. The next thing the wife had was the blade.
In December 2018, Dr. Ibrahim drove to pick up his wife from work in Jinja and returned home, where two assassins were waiting for him. They fired shots through the windshield, striking Dr. Ibrahim twice in the chest. His wife fled, managing to escape the gunmen on foot, while Dr. Ibrahim died in a pool of his own blood. It didn't seem like a coincidence to some people siding against Renee. Shootings were not common in Uganda. Gun laws are strict. And we quickly heard that Dr. Ibrahim had a meeting with a government official scheduled for the week he was killed. He was going to blow the whistle on Renee. And then those siding with Renee said we had it all flipped around. Dr. Ibrahim was loyal to serving his children. He was going to march into that government office and vindicate Renee. And that's why he was killed. The trauma of a beloved doctor being killed. The screams you hear in that news footage. They were being exploited on both sides. We were supposed to believe that someone here was a monster, capable of murdering in cold blood. Only no one could back it up. But everyone thought it had to do with them, their struggle, their fight. Meanwhile, Dr. Ibrahim's murder remains unsolved.
Next time on the final episode of The Missionary.
I was so sure that I was where I was supposed to be in life and doing what I was supposed to be doing. And now to step back after so long and ask myself, did you just get it all wrong? Did you really help anyone at all? Because now, people that you love so dearly are being blackmailed and threatened, and they're threatening my own children. And was it worth it?
The Missionary is a production of iHeartMedia. It's written and reported by Halima Gikandi, Malcolm Burnley, and me, Rajiv Gola. It's produced by Michelle Lanz and Ryan Murdoch. Mark Lotto is our story editor. Our executive producer is Mangesh Hathikudar. Our fact checker is Austin Thompson.
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
You wouldn't expect to hear that we're America's third best city for beer like this one. Or home to vibes like this. And this. It might surprise you that we're top 10 for immersive art that's like...
Whoa.
And...
Hmm.
Not to mention, we have one of the top zoos in the country. So can a city with the country's best pro soccer team, ranking as a top culinary destination in the world, be in your own backyard? Yes, Columbus. Plan your summer at experiencecolumbus.com/summer.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home.
It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.